Good morning, church family.
Good morning.
Romans, please, in chapter number 5. A couple words, a couple explanations. This week has been a sick week for our family. I think last Sunday I was one of maybe two in the household here. And then Tuesday was my turn to get sick. I feel much, much better. That's why I'm here this morning. I still show some signs of my sickness, and so that is why you didn't see me before the service, and as soon as I'm done preaching, you won't see me after that part, too. I think I measured this as like, you know, 20 yards or something like that, so we're good here. And I'm not going to walk around. I'll stay back, way back here. I just say that because I know on Sunday, as I'd like to catch so many of you and shake so many hands and hugs, and I don't need to do that today, okay? So you're welcome. Because of that, I wanted to give my announcements now. So this doesn't count towards preaching time. You that time me, stop your timer. That's coming in a second. Couple things. One, we have an opportunity. I use that word on purpose. We have an opportunity into this month with our county fair. It's right down the road. And they actually allow us to be a part of it, set up a table, provide our literature, invite individuals to be a part of our church body, meet individuals' needs, share the gospel, all of that. Now, that county fair is from July 22nd to 22nd to 27th. In order to have that table, we have to man it the entire time. We can't just come in and hit the high points. So we need individuals to say, I will be at that table. Now, that being at that table might simply be, I'm going to be there, and I will be a smiling face, and if somebody wants to talk to me, I will give them some information about our church, and I'll be really scared doing it. Amen. Okay. Some of that being at that table might be having a really important conversation. My time last year was it was a much slower time. It was in the morning, but I was able to have one probably 30-minute conversation with an older lady in our community. It was a good conversation. I was able to walk through the gospel probably 3 times in those 30 minutes over and over again. And so I want to encourage you, this is an opportunity. We say we believe in faithful evangelism. And so be a part. To be a part, there's a QR code in your bulletin. You take a picture of that. It will send you to the sign-up sheet. You can see the time slots. There's already been some filling up. I haven't looked at it in the last couple days. But I encourage you, plug your name in one of those slots. Pastor Mark will say more about that in the end of the service. And then we have a project coming up. We have been working on the project for a while now. And so we have a project on our bathroom remodel. Our deacon over the building, Larry, did a great job with an electrician, and then he's done the drywalling patching on it. We're ready for paint now. And so we have about a month is the goal to get our paint done in those 4 bathrooms. That is primer, ceilings, everything. We're lighting the whole thing up. You can actually see when you're in there. If you are able and interested in helping with painting, I would say usually I'd say, come talk to me today. Don't do that. No. Text me, email me. I'm getting the paint lined up on Tuesday, and then we will start the slow process of painting all 4 of those bathrooms over the next 4 weeks. And so we would love to have a couple dozen individuals over the next couple weeks be able to help with that. And then one last item. I was on vacation. James and Tim, I don't even see either one of them today, gave announcements as 2 of our deacons about a new policy regarding sabbaticals for our pastors. I didn't want to come back and ignore that. And so I just wanted to speak to that for just a second this morning. First, I want to say thank you. I want to say thank you for a group of deacons who would express care for their pastor in that way. That they would be concerned not just for me as an individual to come up here and preach, but would express care for who I am, my own spiritual walk, and my own health. And so I say thank you. 10 years ago, when our previous pastor, Bruce Dunford, left, he actually emailed me. He's like, I'm sending on my way out all the deacons an article on sabbaticals for pastors. As a younger, new pastor coming in the door at 32, I read that, and I thought, well, that sounds fun, but I don't need that. So whatever you guys want to do with that, that's fine by me. 10 years later, and And I could point to numerous examples of pastors who have walked away, who have fallen away, and who have burned out. I tell you, thank you. I feel like by God's grace, I'm in a very good place right now as a pastor. But I can look back at my 10 years and I know that there were stretches and seasons that I could not have said that. And there were stretches of seasons as I pastored you on a Sunday and I could smile that inside I was empty. And so I'm thankful to have this in my back pocket. I don't know when I'm going to utilize it. It's not next week. Although after this week and how I feel, I contemplated starting it this morning. I want to make sure it's at the right time for our church and for my family. But I intend to utilize that gift and actually set an example for the staff, the pastoral team. Because when Mark's time comes, you're taking it, Mark. Because we are not immune. We are humans and we are broken. And so I say thank you. All right, those were my announcements. Paul, I'm going to need your help on there. This is doing nothing for me today. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for this moment now. This is not an accident that we are here, all of us. Some for the first time, some for the, I don't know how many times. But it's not an accident because you're a God and you're in control of your creation that you would bring each one of us here today into this room to open up this word and look at these verses. That was all part of your plan. Thank you. I pray as I look at these words, as my mind races back and forth to different parts of them, for clarity, I pray that what I say does not distract from the power that is your word. And I pray you work. You've given us an amazing gift. It's free. And I pray we leave marveling at it. I pray we all leave having received it. In Jesus' name I pray. And God's people say, amen. Amen. Kids, you know those pictures where you get two pictures and they're a lot alike, but then they're saying, can you find the five differences between those two pictures? Adults, it is okay if you want to say you still like those things, okay? Adults, it's also okay if you admit that you can't find the differences, okay? Like if you could stare at these pictures for the next 5 minutes and you still would not see that one of the kids has teeth and the other kid does not have teeth. And one kid has a cloud above its head, and the other kid does not have a cloud. I'm giving you the answers here, so you can stop looking at the picture now. Romans chapter number 5, verses 12 through 21, is going to give us two pictures. It's going to give us a picture of a guy named Adam who lived thousands of years ago. He was the first guy. And it's going to give us a picture of another man, Jesus Christ. And it's going to put these two pictures next to each other. And these pictures have some things similar. Which is why in Romans chapter number, verse number 14, at the end of it, it says, Adam is a type of the one who is to come. It's saying Adam fits the pattern of Jesus Christ. He looks in some way like Jesus Christ looks. He functions like Jesus Christ functions. And the way Adam does. Adam and Jesus both serve as representatives for humanity. And both of them, by a single act that they do, impact humanity. Adam, that first human being, impacted humanity. Some of you have felt Adam's impact on humanity already this year. I mean, our men's morning Bible study on Monday was interrupted by news of one family member passing away. Adam has impacted humanity. If you look at verse number 12, it's a dark picture. I mean, if we get two pictures here, we start with a dark picture. Adam's impacted humanity just as sin came into the world through one man, Adam, and death through sin. So death spread to all men because all had sin. Do you see how this goes? It goes sin, death, sin, death, sin. It's a dark picture. So then when you get to verse number 14 and it says, you know, Adam is simply a type. He's a lot like someone who's to come, Jesus Christ. There's part of us, if we didn't know this narrative, if we didn't know Adam and who's to come, and all I said is Adam's a type of someone who's going to come, there's part of us that would say, I don't want another Adam coming. I mean, that first Adam came and he sinned and he messed everything up. We all sin now. But no sooner does verse number 14 say that Adam is like the one who's going to come, that verse number 15 says, but wait a minute, these pictures are different. Verse number 15, but the free gift is not like the trespass. These pictures are different. And the difference between the first picture and the second picture is what can give you hope today. And the difference between the first picture and that second picture of Adam and then to Jesus Christ can deliver you from death today. The difference gives us life through Jesus Christ's free gift. Now I'll say that statement today. I could zoom back out into this whole passage and say the reign of death is destroyed by Jesus' reign of grace. But let's just say we got two pictures today, Adam and Jesus, and there's some differences. Verse 15 just tipped us off to them, so what are the differences? One, Jesus is different than Adam because Jesus provides a free gift. Now, saying free gets our attention, doesn't it? I mean, drive down the road and you see a sign that says free, and you start doing a double take, because what's free? It's a good word. And this passage uses the word free a lot. Look at verse number 15. But the free gift, verse number 15, and the free gift by the grace, verse number 16, and the free gift, verse number 16, but the free gift, verse number 17, and the free gift of righteousness. What's this all about? Do you think Paul wants us to know something about this gift? It's free. This free gift is not like the trespass. Now, I already got us thinking about Adam and his sin. Verse number 12 did that for us. That's the trespass. The point is, here is Adam, the first man God creates at the end of six literal days of creation, and now you have humanity on this earth. And Adam is placed as a representative of all of mankind, so that when Adam sinned, death spreads to all mankind. You should. You should think your own sin. But what I just said and what the passage just said is when Adam sins, we all become sinners. You get the significance of this. This means hypothetically, and this is a massive hypothetical, but just go hypothetically, if Adam did that one sin and then Adam never sinned again and we never sinned, we would still desperately need Jesus Christ to come and die for sin. Some of you are like, well, baby, no, I didn't sin. In your hypothetical, I didn't sin. I became a sinner because Adam sinned. That's what it means to have a representative. That's what it means for sin to pass. Now, that's an irrelevant argument because, let's just all admit, we sin just like our great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather Adam. Like, we're all born, and we don't have to be taught to sin. We know it. And so we're not even fast learners. We already know it. Why? Because Adam sinned. And his sin is passed to all of us. And so what happens is we have Adam and trespass.
and a whole bunch of death. We have chapters that are filled of a bunch of people who lived and then died. We have wildernesses that are just an ever-unfolding graveyard. You read through the Bible and you have seas that just become a body of washed up corpses. Death reigns. Because of Adam's sin, verse number 12, the trespass here, death is now placed upon the throne over humanity, and its forces march throughout humanity unchecked as death spreads. But the free gift is not like the trespass. Okay. This is where I struggled this week. Actually, this is one of like 20 places I struggled this week. If you look at verse number 15, it says the free gift, it compares the free gift to the trespass. And maybe I'm digging too much into this, and maybe you read that and like nod your head and say, yep, amen. Free gift, trespass, got it. This is where I struggle. Free gift and trespass are not parallel opposites. So like, what is the opposite of trespass, of disobedience, of sin? What's the opposite of that? It's, kids, this is easy. What's the opposite of disobeying your parents? It is obeying them. Okay, so if we're going straight parallel, if I'm just trying to read this and you're trying to say, you know what, these pictures are different. You see, where Adam disobeys, I'm waiting for him to say, look, Jesus obeys. And he does. And so that's what I'm saying. Well, Paul, that's how the parallel needs to go. They're different. Adam gets one command, he disobeys, and here comes Jesus, and he has all the law, and he perfectly obeys the entirety of the law. But what Paul does with this verse is he takes free gift and he uses two words to summarize all that Jesus did and accomplishes and says, here's a free gift for you. But he's been laying this foundation. He's able to do this. If you look at this passage, go back to verse number 6. Because he's already been covering what Jesus has accomplished here. Verse number 6, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. Verse number 8, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Verse number 10, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son. Would you just hang with me, please? Okay. I think this is special. Adam sins, and we have a reign of death. Death in every sense of the word death. There will now be physical death. We all face it. There's spiritual death separation, and we are all simply just waiting for eternal death. There's death. But these pictures are different. Adam disobeys, and along comes Jesus Christ. And the one person who has ever lived who is immune to death because they perfectly obeyed and never sinned is taken by people who are destined to die, and they kill the one who doesn't deserve to die. How is the reign of death defeated? Okay, so I enjoy fantasy books. My kids have latched onto them, so I'm kind of rehashing a lot of my fantasy reads. So if you have one force in power and they're on the throne, we know how to get that one force off the throne, right? You need a battle. Like, you need to duke some things out. He's got an army. You need a bigger army, or you need a really good person who's super secret and kind of infiltrate and kind of defeat that guy. I'm waiting for some clash. here's death reigning, and we have no hope because death is spread to all of us because we've all sinned. How can this reign of death be defeated? And along comes Jesus, the one person who should not die, the one person who does not deserve to die. And we're saying, here's the hope. He can defeat death. And how is death defeated? He dies. Jesus does not fight death like two great warriors duking it out. He submits to it. He's in a garden and he says, God, not my will, your will. His captors come with their little swords and their little crowd. And he takes away what little force he has with his people and says, put it away, and goes with them. He does not defeat death by fighting it. He defeats death by submitting to it. He keeps his mouth shut during all the false accusations. He turns the other cheek as he's beaten. He willingly chooses to take steps down a road that leads to a cross when he could have simply turned around and walked down that other road to the other side and nobody or everybody couldn't stop him. He could have called angels. He even told them that. Like, this is not going to happen unless I let it happen. He willingly lays down on a cross. And in that moment, as he hangs upon a cross, by his death, the reign of death is defeated. Now, Lord willing, we're going to get to this verse, and you can all act surprised when we get to it. But go to chapter number 6 and look at what this does in verse number 9. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Here's my phrase here. Death no longer has dominion over him. He rises from the death. Death, you have no victory anymore. You're not reigning anymore. You've been defeated by Jesus Christ, dying for a death he didn't deserve to die. All of that is tied up into this phrase. The free gift is not like the trespass, because the trespass brings death that we all face, that we've all experienced, whether you realize it or not, because of sin. And along comes Jesus Christ, and where Adam fails and disobeys, Jesus Christ perfectly obeys because he's righteous God. And yet righteous, perfect, obeying God still faces the penalty of sin, death. And yet death is defeated because the perfect sacrifice rises from the dead. Now, it says free gift. What's the free gift? Jesus is different than Adam because Jesus' free gift gives life. Verse number 16. And the free gift is not like the result of that one man's sin. For the judgment following one trespass brought condemnation. That is what every one of us by Adam faces. Some of you are like, well, I thought we faced a death. Yes. And after the death comes judgment. Where he uses condemnation. Because of our sin, we will die. And when we die, we will face our Creator. And if we stand before him with all of our sin, we will face judgment, which will be eternal death and suffering. But Jesus isn't like that. Jesus offers a free gift. Now, just because I say something is free doesn't mean that it's actually a good thing. So where I live, I drive down a little road to get to the main road sometimes. And there's a lot of apartment complexes on that road. So there's often some things on the side of the road with a sign that marked free. Okay. Just because there's a piece of wood looking like furniture on the side of the road marked free does not mean it's worth me stopping to get that piece of furniture. That furniture has been sitting in an apartment with 27 cats for the last 15 years. I don't want that piece of furniture. And you're like, but it's free. I will drive by it, no problem. So when I say something is free, when verse 15, 16, and 17 stresses, it's a free gift. There's part of me that says, well, you better tell me what this free gift is because it might not be worth my time. So what's the free gift? Keep looking at our passage. For the free gift, following many trespasses, brought justification. What's the free gift? The word he uses is justification. I don't feel bad if you don't know that word. We don't use that word. The word justification means to be declared something righteous. So like if you're in a courtroom and you've pleaded your case and the court, the judge says not guilty, what he just did was he justified you. Okay. Now here's the problem. We're all guilty. Because we all sin. So how do we get to verse number 16 that says we're justified, we're declared righteous, when we've already read the verse and we can all admit it, we sin. Which is why we get to verse number 18. And verse number 18 reads, and the free gift of righteousness reigns in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Now he uses the word righteousness. I am justified, I'm declared righteous, not because I am righteous, but because I am made righteous by Jesus Christ. He is righteous, he didn't disobey. He obeys the law perfectly. He is righteous and yet still bears the penalty for sin. He dies, he defeats death. So now he has this righteousness that he doesn't need. He paid the penalty already. And that righteousness is offered up as a free gift. If you have that gift, what does it mean in your life? This is why Romans 6, if we kept on going through Romans 6, we would get to the verse that tells us, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of life, the gift of God is eternal life. Now the gift is called life. So here's this free gift through Jesus Christ who defeats the reign of death. And the gift is, I will give you my righteousness. I will pay for your sin so that you now, instead of death, can have life. That might sound too good for you. I think some of us could say, yep, that'd be nice, but I sin a lot. So how could Jesus dying on the cross that one time take care of, but just a lot of sins? I mean, Brother Doug prayed, and I always know when Brother Doug prays, like, we'll start by, well, hey, I know it's going to be long, okay? But I also know that we're going to be humbled because he just mentioned a whole bunch of sins. Look back at verse number 16. This is so encouraging. But the free gift is not like the result of that one man's sin. For the judgment followed one trespass and it brought condemnation. But the free gift following, you see what the next phrase says? Many trespasses. Doesn't say one trespass. It could. It says many trespasses. It paints a picture not just of Adam's sin and saying, God says, I'm going to take care of that. It paints the picture that Adam's sin and death and sin spread to everyone. And then there's four people in the world and they're all sinners. And then it grows and there's I don't know how many people next and they're all sinners. And the sins heap up upon it. There's many trespasses. And more people come along, and we can look at different characters, and we can see David, and now there's the sin of adultery, and it's heaped up more. And Israel comes along, and There's a whole bunch of sins that happen in a wilderness, and more sins are heaped up, many trespasses. And in one fell swoop, Jesus dies for many trespasses. I don't know if your kids are like this. I'd like to think that your kids are like my kids. You know when your kid has fun during the day and they make a royal mess over everything in the house. I mean, you spread it out over hours. They play this game. They get 2 minutes into this game and they start that game. And then they have a snack and they eat 3 bites of the snack and it's left over there. Because no one ever finishes a snack, okay? So you got a crust of something over there, and then they get hungry 7 minutes later. Instead of going back to that snack, they grab a snack, and so there's a little bit over there. And we're just talking a mess. And then it comes time to clean up. And you tell the kid they need to clean up now. And amazingly, as soon as those words are out of your mouth, it's like they zap the kid of all energy, okay? You're like, you need to clean up. And they're like, oh, I can't move. I can't lift anything. And I'm like, I just watched you. You lifted that up from your room and you ran down the hallway. You can clean this up and you can get it back to your room. No, I can't do it. Okay. We have dirtied everything up. Many trespasses. And the amazing thing is, it doesn't take many acts to fix it all. It takes one act. It takes one death that did not deserve to have to happen to pay for many sins. And there's still part of us that we read this and we say, this can't be right. Free gift. Life eternal. Paid for many trespasses. This sounds too good to be true. Just because you say free doesn't mean we think free. What's the catch? This week, I got suckered in. Got an advertisement on Facebook that said, free Dairy Queen Blizzard. And I clicked. It wasn't for me. I thought, you know, I got a big household right now. Somebody's going to want a free Blizzard in this household. And so I clicked and I put my information in. I put my phone number and I put my email address in. And I thought, someone's going to get a free Blizzard tonight. This will be great. I got the code. It was not a free Blizzard. It was buy one Blizzard, get one free. Okay, some of you are like, that's free. No. That's buy two at 50% off, okay? That is not free. So when I hear free in this word, and here's Jesus Christ, and he makes payment for sin, and it is free, there is part of us that is conditioned to think, what do I need to do? And I say, no, it's free. Eternal life, forgiveness of sin, it's free. And we're like, let me meet you halfway. There's another word, if you look back at the verse, that actually reinforces and assures us that what Jesus Christ offers up as a gift is truly free, as this gift of life that defeats the reign of death, that allows us to escape eternal death, that makes payment for sin is truly free. If you look back at verse number 15, but the free gift is not like the trespass. For if many die through one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God. And the free gift by the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. I think many of you guys could give me a very good definition of grace. I think the most popular one I hear often is grace is unmerited favor. You guys nailed it. Unmerited favor. If you look up the word that comes from that grace, there's another definition right there. It is also defined as free favor or a free gift. In fact, I can read verse number 16 in the original, and it would be, and the free gift is not like the result. Why? But the free gift by many trust has brought justification by the free gift, grace. And the free gift abounds to many. Even more than we would read it, it's stressing this truly is free. It's grace. No strings attached. Here's a gracious offer of payment for sin and life. To say grace is to say it is undeserved, which is saying you and I deserve something very different. Where with Adam, we deserve death. To say grace assumes that it is just for God to judge my sin, and it is. To say grace is to say that I have no ability to solve this. To say grace is to say God is not compelled to do anything about this. And yet God sends his son Jesus to defeat what Adam did. Christian, it is grace of God, a free gift, undeserved favor that God would look at you from eternity past. It is grace that God would pursue you. It is grace that God would open up eyes. It is grace that God would convict you. It is grace, undeserved favor, that the Holy Spirit would move your heart. It is undeserved favor. It is grace that God would pardon me, that God would forgive me. It is grace that God would preserve me for a time that I could respond to that grace and cry out to him. It is grace that God will continue to work in my life and sanctify me. It is grace that God will sustain me and bring me home to him for all of eternity. It's all grace. This is why the Apostle Paul later on says, you know what? I am what I am by the grace of God. Christian, we cannot overemphasize enough the word grace in our life. And if we are honest, we forget it a lot. And when we forget grace, we wreak havoc in how we think about ourselves, how we think about others, and how we think about God. So I turned 42 today. Earlier this week, I was sitting down with my littlest. We were trying to just make small talk and distract him. He broke his arm, and so he had a cast on, and I was just trying to make small talk, and he was really bummed about a lot of things about his summer. And so I made the comment. I was like, well, I got a birthday coming up. That's worth talking about. That's exciting. And he's like, how old are you going to turn? I'm like, well, I'm going to turn 42. And as I said those words, I'm like, you know what? I might need to warn you. I might be having a midlife crisis soon. My littlest, he can handle that conversation. He just rolled right with it. He's like, well, why? And I was like, well, you know, sometimes at midtime of your life, you kind of just take a stock of what you are and what you have or haven't accomplished, and you kind of get disappointed. You're like, you know, I wish I could have done more. Or I thought 20 years ago I would have done more, or this would have been this way and this different. And so, you know, sometimes they just call it a midlife crisis. Now, he had a great solution for it. I mean, I love my son. He's just great. He looks at me. I didn't prompt him. I didn't feed him any answers. He's like, well, you could buy a house by the beach. I thought, yeah, I could do that. That would help. And then he's like, and you could get a motorcycle. And I was like, well, Mom doesn't like motorcycles. No. Okay, yeah, you're right. Get a sports car, Dad. And I was like, wait a minute. So you think if I have a sports car and a house by the beach, I won't have a midlife crisis? Yeah. He even had an idea how to pay for it all. Okay, he's just like, give people rides and they'll pay you for the car then. So starting next week after the service, okay? That's the world's solution. See, the world says, hey, you look at yourself and you look at who you are and you assess who you are and you determine value based upon what you haven't or haven't accomplished and who you are and your friend list and your promotions. And if it's not enough, then you feel bad about yourself and you freak out. Or if it's too much, then you can pat yourself on the back. Christian, that is graceless. Whether I'm 42, 82, or 12, you know what the solution needs to be? I am a product of God's grace. And it is grace that God has chosen to use in my life to make me who I am or not be. And because that's grace, I simply say thank you. Now that's just me saying the word grace this week in my life. And grace protects me from depression, from unfulfillment. Because I recognize that I am who I am by God's grace, and I didn't even deserve that. Christian, it's grace that protects you from bitterness. Because when you say, I received a free gift by grace, you said, I'm a wretched sinner. So I don't have to be bitter that that happened to me because I deserved far more. Christian, it's grace that allows you to say, I forgive you. It's grace that allows you in the midst of suffering to stand up and say, God, thank you. Because you have given me grace. It is a free gift. So here's the question I have to get to today then. Jesus, this picture is a lot different than Adam's. Adam sins, death. We sin, death. Jesus obeys, still dies, defeats sin to offer up a free gift. So how do you get that free gift? Verse number 18. Therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation, verse number 17. For if because of one man's trespass death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life. What still needs to happen? You receive it. A few years ago, I made the mistake of posting some cabinets. I had some old cabinets in my garage and a countertop on Facebook Marketplace, and I just wanted to get rid of them. Someone gave them to me. I used them for a little bit, didn't need them anymore. And since I didn't even pay for them, I was just like, well, I can just post them for free. I'll be a blessing to somebody else. And so I took some pictures. I posted on Facebook, cabinets, free. Come and get them. They're in my driveway. And I was naive. I literally thought I could post them for free, kind of go about cleaning up the driveway, in 30 minutes somebody would pop out of their car and say, hey, I wanted those cabinets. And I'm like, yeah, they're yours, they're free. Grab them and it would be done in 30 minutes. And I would delete the post and move on with my day. That is not what happened. Okay. We don't understand the word free. So nothing happened. No one calls, no one stopped. Like an hour goes by and I'm like, I wonder what's going on. So I opened my phone up to see maybe I had not posted, maybe they're not up there. I had a gazillion messages. And of course, like the first 27 are like, is this still available? Is this still available? Is this still available? Like, yeah, it's still available. But then there were some people who just like didn't get it. And so they write this message like, hey, I really love those cabinets. I would love them. They would be perfect in my wood shop. I didn't see the price. I'm like, free. The price is free. Just come and get them. There were some people, they were skeptical. I love this one. They'd get them like, so, what's wrong with them? I'm like, that's why I put the pictures up. So look at the pictures. They're in great condition. They're free. Just come and get them. There's others who try to bribe me. They're like, hey, I can't make it today. Super busy. Can make it Monday. I'll give you $50. I'm like, no, they're free. Just come and get them. There was one lady. She had this whole sob story. She's like, I just moved into an apartment yesterday. There is nothing in my apartment. Literally, it's walls and a floor. I need these. Can you deliver them? I'm like, no, they're free. You come, you get them free. It's free. Just receive it. Just come and get it. It's worth it. Paul will tell us later on, it is the greatest treasure, this gift. And yet it's still free. So how do you get it? Receive it. You say, that sounds a little too simple. That sounds like signing the two differences in your pictures at the beginning. Yeah. No checklist. Receive Jesus Christ as Lord. Receive his payment for your sin. And instead of being in the reign of death, receive life eternal through Jesus Christ. And so, Father God, I say thank you. I thank you for grace. Of Jesus Christ. I ask you, would you pause and just take the moment . I'm not asking you, have you been to church a lot? I'm not asking you, were you baptized before? I'm not asking you, have you given a lot in the offering? I'm simply asking you, have you received the abundant grace and the free gift of Jesus Christ's payment on the cross? If you haven't, I plead with you, you could just pray right now. Recognize your sinfulness, recognize your reign of death, and before God, receive Jesus Christ as your only hope, your payment for sin. Christian, what does it mean for you this week to be a product of God's grace? Father, would you work in our lives now? Would you be glorified through your word? And in Jesus' name we pray, and God's people say, amen.